You rely on this podcast to stay informed and connected with your local community, and we rely on you. Without listener support, this show simply wouldn't exist. Be a part of the team that makes this show possible by donating to our home, KUOW. It only takes a minute. Donate at KUOW.org or follow the link in the show notes. And thank you.
You're listening to Soundside. I'm Diana Opong in for Libby Denkman. The investigation into Boeing's safety culture and what led up to the 737 MAX blowout over Portland in January made its way to Capitol Hill last week. Dual Senate panels heard testimony from whistleblowers and experts about ongoing problems with safety and oversight at Boeing.
The manufacturing conditions that led to the two 737 MAX disasters also led to the Alaskan accident, blowout accident. And these conditions continue.
Here to break down some highlights from those hearings and what it means for the aviation giant is Richard Abulafia, the Managing Director for Aerodynamic Advisory, and Scott Hamilton, an aviation industry consultant with Liam Company. Richard, Scott, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Great to be on.
So one of the key moments from this long day of hearings was at the Senate Homeland Security Subcommittee on Investigations. That's a mouthful. And it was testimony by whistleblower Sam Solapour. Solapour is still an engineer at Boeing. He has worked on the 787 Dreamliner and the 777. Solapour testified that Boeing took manufacturing shortcuts and prioritized getting airplanes out of the factory instead of addressing manufacturing issues. Let's take a listen.
In a rush to address its bottlenecks in production, Boeing hit problems, pushing pieces together with excessive force to make them appear that the gaps don't exist, even though they exist. The gap didn't actually go away, and this may result in premature fatigue failure. Effectively, they are putting out defective airplanes.
So, Scott, let's start with you and then follow up, Richard. What kind of impact do you think Solapour's testimony had on the committee, and how damning is it for Boeing?
I'm a real cynic about congressional hearings. I think all too often they're doing these hearings for their 15 minutes on camera rather than trying to actually solve a problem. Mm-hmm. In terms of the testimony itself, I don't know the gentleman. I never heard of him before this latest round of hearings and interviews took place. I am told he is a very sharp man by people who do know him. But I have to confess that I don't quite agree with his conclusions that either the 777 or the 787 are unsafe airplanes. The basic thesis has Boeing taken shortcuts, yes, but I just don't buy into that the airplanes are unsafe.
And Richard, Solapour also testified that he felt like he had been physically threatened by a manager after raising safety concerns. Let's take a listen to that one as well.
I raised concerns internally. I was sidelined. I was told to shut up. I received physical threats. My boss said, I would have killed someone who said what you said in a meeting.
Richard, whether or not that was just a figure of speech, that manager's reaction indicates how hard it is to speak up at this company. How has it gotten so bad at Boeing?
Well, you know, I obviously can't verify his particular experiences, but I think we've known for some time that Boeing's culture is broken in a lot of ways. You know, there's this complete disconnect between people on the floor and people one step up and one step up, and it keeps going up until you get to, you know, the top level, which is completely disconnected. That's all very bad. I don't think that the overwhelming bulk of workers' experience resembles this. And again, I can't speak to the, you know, veracity of this particular experience. But I do know that there's this complete disconnect that is not conducive to a safe culture. Having said that, I agree completely with Scott. I'm not sure we heard anything with the testimony that hadn't been said before, and that speaks to the lack of safety for Boeing jets.
And let's turn from the whistleblower's testimony at the Senate Homeland Security Subcommittee to the other Boeing hearing that happened on the same day. This was an FAA-appointed safety panel presenting findings to the Senate Commerce Committee. Here we had folks from MIT and NASA who looked at the door panel blowout on the 737 MAX 9 plane. And Boeing safety culture was not the only thing at issue here. Senator Tammy Duckworth really went after the FAA and its oversight of Boeing. She said that self-certification process is still too hands-off, even after it was restructured following deadly MAX 8 crashes in 2018 and 2019. Scott, how is the self-certification process part of this picture?
Well, self-certification or self-regulatory or employee company representatives reporting to government agencies is not at all new. That's been part of government oversight, if you wanted to call it that, for as long as I can remember, and I'm 72 years old. Mm-hmm. And it's not limited to the FAA, the Food and Drug Administration, the National, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. They all have the same business model, if you will. And it's all because Congress does not give the regulators the funds that they need to do the jobs themselves with the expertise that they require. And that's why these regulatory agencies have to rely on the companies to do some of their oversight. To me, it all comes back to Congress.
What about for you, Richard? Do you expect to see further changes in how the FAA monitors Boeing to come out of all of this? Some changes to that self-certification process, maybe a little bit more money to help accommodate the bodies and people needed to check and make sure safety is top priority?
I would love to say I did see a change coming, but I'm afraid I don't. You know, the narrative in Washington for decades now has been deregulatory, and at first in the, you know, the 80s, the Reagan era, probably served a pretty good purpose, but then it went way too far. And the strangest part of this whole set of hearings is you have people like, well, Senator J.D. Vance, who kind of has been leading the charge for that, you know, the Freedom Caucus, Tea Party, starve the beast, kill big government, now saying, hey, where's government? Why aren't they working for us? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love to say that I saw some kind of realization of the cognitive dissonance going on here and people like that saying, hey, maybe we went too far. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should provide the adequate resources needed for regulatory oversight. But I don't think we will. It's too big a stretch for some people.
So, Scott, there were no Boeing witnesses or representatives at either hearing. And according to a statement from Boeing, the company is in talks to appear before the Homeland Security Subcommittee and was offered to provide and has offered to provide documents, testimony and technical briefings. None of us clearly here in this space is in the C-suite at Boeing. But what do you think the company's strategy is when it comes to handling these hearings and how they're going to navigate them moving forward?
Damage control and obfuscation.
Richard?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, remember, Boeing is kind of rudderless now. You know, the CEO is lame duck and frankly, never any good. The head of Boeing Commercial, the operating unit that builds jetliners, of course, is simply gone, replaced by somebody with, well, exactly zero experience with aircraft design and manufacture. None of that is good for anything more than, obfuscation and damage control.
Things don't look very good. And now that Congress is watching, could Boeing actually be pressured to implement some real concrete policies to address the safety culture issues at the company?
I'll take that first. Yeah. You know, Congress, after the first MAX crisis in 2018-19, passed legislation intended to increase safety. Boeing, and it was David Calhoun as the new CEO starting in January 2020, mm-hmm. after firing the previous CEO, Dennis Muilenburg, it was Calhoun whose responsibility it was to implement increased safety. Now, as we fast forward to January 5th, 2024, with the Alaska Airlines accident, safety is still missing at Boeing.
Richard, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, agree completely, but I think we shouldn't omit the role of the FAA, which at the end of the day is a professional regulatory organization. It might be under-resourced and under powered in terms of its authority, but it still does a decent job. And remember that a lot of the comments by Mr. Salipour and others reflect events that took place when the 787 line was in fact de facto shut down. Mm-hmm. The FAA went in, pointed out to a number of production deficiencies and said, okay, we're yanking your ability to certify these jets. Mm-hmm. So in other words, that's the part of the system that actually still works. It is in Congress with, its performative aspects. Frankly, it's not the board. Normally, the board would pay attention when executives do such a terrible job. It's come down to the FAA to hold the line. And they're not flawless and they aren't under-resourced, but they've done the right thing on numerous occasions. And that's why I'm confident that ultimately the system can be restored.
Actually, I'd like to interject here.
Yeah.
The board at Boeing has been missing in action for many, many years. And it wasn't until the top airline Boeing customers in the United States demanded a meeting with the board of directors without David Calhoun present that the board finally got off its butt and took some action. Mm. And it's going to be the customers. It's going to be the shareholders. Boeing can stonewall the regulators up to a certain point. They can stonewall Congress. But it's in the end, it's going to be the customers and the shareholders will be the people that the board pays attention to.
Because it's all about the bottom line, right? They'll listen to the people cutting the checks. Richard and Scott, before we go, these hearings didn't offer any immediate solutions, right? And for lawmakers, when it comes to addressing Boeing's safety record, not much has been presented so far. But Senator Maria Cantwell pledged to introduce a bill responding to Boeing's issues and FAA oversight by the end of the year. Do either of you think these hearings have marked a turning point when it comes to the relationship and oversight between agencies like the FAA and Boeing?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it seems that efforts have been taken before. You know, back in February, the FAA imposed a cap, 38 737 maxes per month.
Right.
And everyone was sort of scratching their heads like, oh, okay, that's a major move. Can they even do that? Mm-hmm. And they did that. But of course, it was kind of a joke because, you know, frankly, Boeing's ability to sustain a production rate of 38 is highly questionable.
Right.
So it was kind of more of an aspiration than a cap. You know, in other words, I think there are a number of moves that people think, oh, that's a good idea, that don't jibe with the reality of how bad things have gotten.
Yeah. And Scott,
and I agree with Richard. It's got to be the leadership. It's got to be a board that actually steps up and does its fiduciary duty. And who they get to replace Calhoun and who that replacement gets to lead Boeing Commercial Airplanes is going to be so important. And oh, by the way, and we don't have time to get into it, that's only part of the problem at Boeing. The defense unit is in complete chaos as well.
Okay, so we've got a few areas that need leadership and support. Is there anything else you're keeping in mind as we reflect on these hearings, which I know you guys aren't big fans, but is there anything else that you've been thinking about?
I'd like to have a broader conversation. I wish in Washington people would have that broader conversation about the role of regulators and, you know, resources for those regulators. I'd like to see that sort of attack of self-awareness, right, by people saying, let's stop starving the beast and maybe think about how government can actually help.
Yeah.
Scott? Well, my view is that in the current political climate of Congress, you're not going to get anything done. Take a look at how long it took just to get a reauthorization bill for the FAA. And one of the major sticking points was the addition of long-haul slots out of Washington National Airport. Mm-hmm. I mean, the FAA has been underfunded since its inception. Mm. They can't get the money they need to reform the air traffic control system. They can't even get reauthorization done on a timely basis. It's just a mess in Congress, and that's where the problem is.
A lot of work still to be done. Richard Abulafia is the managing director of Aerodynamic Advisory, and Scott Hamilton is an aviation industry consultant with Liam Company and the author of Air Wars, the Global Combat Between Airbus and Boeing. Both of you, thank you so much for your time and sharing your thoughts.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And you can follow the latest in Boeing news on our website, kuow.org.
Thanks for listening to Soundside. And hey, this show is only possible because listeners support us. If you are able to give right now, check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.